the song?
115.
There was a time when my heart was so low. Heavenly Father, we approach you this morning now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for this privilege, Lord, to come together here in fellowship, worship, and most of all, Lord, the hearing of thy word. For faith cometh by hearing, Lord, and hearing by the word of God. We know that, Father, we are living in critical time and also a wonderful time because we know we are just right at this end where it's just left a few grains of sand in the hourglass of God's prophetic time. Where we shall hear, Father, that voices of thunders, Lord, they shall come. And where we will have our faith, Lord, be lifted up, Father, for that rapture that is to come. We ask of you this time, Father, that you open the ears of everyone to hear, Lord, what will be said this morning. For we know, Lord, the world is growing into darkness, a dark time, not only just the system of the world in political scene or militarily, Lord, or economically, but spiritually, Lord, around the world. We see darkness, Lord. But we know there is always the light that light the pathway for the saints of God that will walk in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, for this hour. We ask, Father, Lord, that as thou bring forth this word to those that would hear, and I pray, Father, that truly as thy Spirit say, he that have an ear to hear, they can hear what the Spirit say. Now what a man says, Lord, regardless of who he may be, is to hear what the Spirit of God said to the churches. Asking now for thy anointing, Father, the lips and the ears, in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated, and we are going to deal with this one more time to establish the truth regarding rapturing faith, answering some of the questions that are on the minds of many people in these end time messages. Never fail, because when God gives us a message to the prophet Brother Branham, you know, those hungry souls and those truth seekers always, you know, digging into the message, and others will dig into the Word of God, the Bible, and, well, there is that something in the heart that man wants to know. To have an answer that satisfies the question in our heart. Well, with the internet, or the www, sounds like some wrestling words or something. But it is, World Wide Web, a web. I've read that many people are caught in the spider web, this web, and they get entangled themselves, because out there, it offers many kinds of, well, confusions, a lot of junks out there, that's true. But it gives a lot of churches in this end-time message the chance to put their opinion on the web. And, well, you know, when people are not careful, they come to upon a website where, you know, and they read it, whether, well, it be an end-time message or not. Well, when people start reading it, if they are not careful to how to see what they read with the word of the Lord, then they found out, then they end up, of course, believing in something very strange. Well, that's what happened now regarding a young man in Sri Lanka. He's coming up with a certain idea of his regarding the seven thunders. So now we're going to approach it as briefly and quickly as we can, because I have books out there, the tapes out there, and we're not going to go into detail, but for the benefit of those to answer some question that are on the mind. And we just want to look at it the Bible way. And I don't think that it is so difficult for us believers who have the Spirit of God to understand things. If we come to the Word of God with a traditional mind, of course we will have problems trying to accept what truth is. As you all know, if you try to come to find out about God with a Trinitarian tradition, you will always reject what the Bible says, no matter what, because after all, opinion is so strong. It's all about brainwashing. Alright? The key verse that we are looking at is Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Then I want to use this verse, and I've always been using this verse for one background as to what faith really is. In the parable that Jesus talked about the unjust steward, he ends up with this question. He said, nevertheless, however, whatever we have mentioned, nevertheless, however, in conclusion, he said, and asked this question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on this earth? When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on this earth? Well, you know, it's a very good question. I've been asking many denominational friends. And when Christ asks a question like that, you must always know that the answer, of course, is like Paul said, do I speak in tongues? The answer is no. Is that right? You understand what I mean? It means say you are not going to say yes. When Jesus Christ comes back, when he finds faith on earth, we say yes, as if that you really see faith really as it is. But the question is just that what when you look in the Old Testament, when God looked down upon the face of the earth and there was wickedness all over the world at that time before the flood, he couldn't find one man except for Noah. Did he find faith on the earth? He was looking over. Could he really find faith on the earth? So we understand that when Jesus said, when I, the Son of Man, come, why find faith? The answer is not, yes, 100% you will find them. As if there is going to be a big quantity of people, a large amount of people. After all, look at Christian world today. 25-30% of the world today are Christian, isn't it? And whether you are Catholic, Mormons, or Jehovah's Witnesses, whatever you may be, people that hold to the Bible, are those faiths that Jesus is talking about? Obviously, no. The faith that Jesus is talking about, a true faith, is like Jesus said, when I come back, I'm going to find this faith, but it's going to be very hard because it's like finding some sugar, grains of sugar, in a pile of rice grain. You know what I'm getting at? After all, look at this denomination here. There are some 2,000 and break into all, subdivided into all the divisions. We have some 30 over thousands of groups and sects and schisms in these religions called Christianity. But if they are piles, just a pile of rice grains anyway, and to find the true faith of the sugar grains among them is not going to be easy. You know that, don't you? So when Jesus asked this question, when I, the Son of Man, return, will I find faith? Now, first of all, we want to ask this question. What is this faith all about? What faith is this now? And I want to mention this, and I believe that every one of you have been taught, perhaps, you know, you may not remember it again, but I want to always emphasize this, that whenever you talk about the faith that we have, or that you should have, if I ask this question, anybody outside this congregation, even among some Branhamites, they probably will not be able to answer. They just kind of scratch their head. When we talk about the faith of the Bible, we're talking about the faith that goes back to the day when God called Abraham. Are you following me in that? Because Paul said, that in his epistle to Romans, is that right? That the seed, the promise of Abraham was not Isaac, was a scripture when it was Christ. And therefore, if we are born of the Spirit of God and have the Spirit of Christ, we are Abraham's seed. Are you talking? You understand it now, don't you? So now, when we talk about that, go back to Abraham and see what that kind of a faith is all about. Now, you know when Paul said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, about faith, he said, by faith Abraham went out of his homeland, went to a country that God called him into, and he went out looking for a city. Not make by hand, but it has foundation whose maker and builder was God. It's God. Is that right? So you know Abraham wasn't going out there, you know, looking for a literal city. When God showed him all that, when God said, I'll come out of your kindred, your homeland, and I'll bring you to a place, whatever your foot trod on is your land, it belongs to you. And then he said, I'm gonna give you a son. I'm gonna make you a father of many nations. Count the stars, count the sand if you can. Now, Abraham began to have a revelation. That he's not just going to have a literal kingdom on earth to his son Isaac that God's going to give to him. It's beyond that. It's a revelation that the favor of Abraham was looked to that city. You know that in the end of it, God is going to build a complete city. Beautiful city. Do you understand that kind of faith? It's a revelation given to Abraham as he walked with the word of God. He saw that thing. Now that's the reason why it's important for us to know where we are, where we are going, where we are heading. You know how important it is for us to get that vision of Abraham? If Abraham do not have that revelation, that vision, I can tell you one thing, he will fail. He will fail. But he held fast to the word of God. You know, the Bible says he believed God, and he was counted to him for righteousness. Oh, you know, remember that righteousness was righteousness of Christ? No, he had that vision, he kept on going. Now, today, do we have a vision? Do we have a revelation that keep us going to know what we are looking at? Oh, a lot of people say, hey, this, and this, that. Are you going to rapture? Maybe. Are you going to, do you think you have eternal life when you die? Maybe. You know, I don't know what people are looking at. Now, you young people here, you better pick, you know, put up your socks. And know that you are living in the end time now, and we are living in the, you know, all these things up there in America with Iraq cases. And I was looking at it. They could go to war within the next month or so if they want to before December comes. If not within the next 6 months, they probably could go into a war after the new year. February, maybe March. Now, we are entering into the year 2003, you know. And I told you one thing about 2003 years ago. It's a year that you're going to watch. Tremendous things are going to happen from 2003 onwards. And we are looking forward to the return of Christ. Because, you know, it's already later than we think. Huh? But do we have a revelation? You know, that's a question people, that, you know, perhaps some people don't really think. When Jesus asked the disciples, well, no, what do you think of people outside said of me? What do you think of me? And then, well, they say this and that, and Jesus asked, but who do you say I am? Do you have a revelation? They said, what a question. That's what Jesus is asking them. Do you have a revelation of who I am? None of them have it until the Father gave it to Peter. And Jesus said, Peter, you don't know of who I am except my Father gave it to you. They used to say, revelation comes from God. Do we have a revelation? Do we sit there? And I believe the disciples are asking each other, oh, what do you think? What do you think? And, but perhaps Peter was thinking because he was always the one who wanted to be a leader. He says, Lord, tell me, who is this? Who is this man called Christ? He probably, you know, he's speaking to the Lord, perhaps voice to me. Lord, say, Lord, for Yahweh, you know, Lord. And they say, who is this person here who is asking this question? Now, do we have a revelation? Do we praise the Lord? Show us what's going to happen. So how the rapture is going to take place? How do I obtain rapturing faith? When does it come and how is it going to come? Well, you know, not like the denomination go out there, you know, it can happen any time. Cut away where you are sitting, cut away in the marketplace, in the bars, and just disappear, left all your trousers and shirts behind, all your spectacles, your glasses, your tooth, your false teeth and socks and underwears and everything is left where you are, and you just disappear into the air. That's the concept. You know, when the Bible says, you know, walk with God and he was not, he was translated. Do you think, you know, was, you know, God digging, he disappeared and everything left there? No, it's not that thing that happened like that. God got to show a person how the thing going to happen. He doesn't just disappear like that. All right. Now, the question is, we are going to talk about this rapturing faith thing. Since we know that we have to have the faith of Abraham, we've got to have that revelation. Because, you know, he was the one that seen all those things there. Huh? He called, he looked for that city that was not, you know, built by man. Their foundation was builder and maker is God, and he saw all those things. Now, we got to, being the seed of Abraham, we've got to have the same faith to see that fulfillment that we're going to go there. Now, the question is, how to receive this rapturing faith? Yes or no? Of course, you see. Everybody will talk about, in a time message, we'll talk about rapturing faith. So, We'll ask ourselves how to receive this upstirring faith. First of all, we want to talk about this restoration message. Now, we all know that God sent us a message through the prophet Brother Branham. It is called the message of restoration. Yes, is it not right? To turn the heart of the father or the children back to the heart of the father. Is that right? To turn back the children back to the father. Right, we all know that, a restoration message. But don't let people come and tell you, we have a lot of Branhamites that says, it's a perfecting message. Then they say, it's a perfect message. Now, let me tell you, let me say one thing. Do you not believe that if it's a message from God, it must be a perfect message anyway? Huh? Correct now? I mean, though there may be some flaw in the speech of man, the message in context is always perfect. It's always right. But to say that Brother Man's message was a perfecting message, that's nonsense. Because the passage of Brother Abraham cannot perfect the bride. And if you who are out there hearing this state and disagree with me, that's alright with you. If you want to tear your hair apart, that's alright with me too. Because I want to say this, the message of Brother Abraham was not a perfecting message. It's not a perfecting message. It will never perfect the bride. It only restored the bride back to the Word. Well, there are other people who say, oh, that's restore the word to the bride. I can tell you one thing, the word doesn't need not any restoration. Because the word has always been there. Now, I have heard this years ago, and the people are still arguing about it. The word has always been there, it's always been perfect, it has never been broken up. It's the people who are messed up, they took a part of this word, took a part of that word, add some tradition to it. And that's just why the message was sent to get the people back to the word, the original word, back to the Father's faith. So there's a lot of people who say things that you know what they are saying, you know. It's not a perfecting message. It doesn't perfect the bride. It only restores the bride back to the Word. And that is its own purpose. Get them back to the Word. Get them back to the homeland. As Paul Abraham said, if Israel don't get back to the homeland, then they will not have their rest. If we don't get back to the homeland of God, we are never going to get our rest, nor our revival anyway. You are seeing that, don't you? All right. Now, we know of course that, well, God had a plan all this while. And denomination failed to see it, of course, that in every age, God is always doing something. And you ask the people, what is God doing now? You ask some Christian people out there, what is God doing now? Do you know God's plan and purpose for today, for this hour of time that we're living in? Oh, yes, 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 yes! That is the end ending! Go off into the world and preach the gospel. They will always quote the Great Commission. Huh? They talk so much about the Great Commission, they don't know about the plan of God. They think the plan of God was that God, I know that God is always in the saving business, in the healing business, in the miracle business. You said, right? We know that God do all this all the time. But when God do this all the time, yet He still has some plan and purpose to bring about what He must fulfill according to what He has spoken and prophesied through the prophets of old and the apostles. Is that all right? Yes. You know, if God is in the saving business and healing business and miracle business, I can tell you one thing, the world will never come to an end. Because every day, every second, there is so many babies born. Yeah, God had to save them too. Let them grow up and hear the gospel, isn't it? There's going to come a time when you're going to come it. Because when there's a sowing, there's got to be a harvesting anyway. So He Christ saw the seed of God, the gospel in the beginning, when He came to with the gospel, then at the end of it, He must harvest. You don't keep sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. Because even now at the end of it, if you keep sowing, when is the harvest? Alright. In the book of Matthew, chapter 17, here we want to point out something also that at least we can, well, have an understanding, answer to a little confusion that has been going on. Now, Matthew chapter 17, you know, when the disciples talk about the lie, Elias that must come and so forth, Elijah that must first come, and Jesus said, yes,
Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. Now, restore all things. You know, what you read in Greek and all these things, and everybody think that they know a lot about Greek and Hebrew words and stuff like that. Now, there was this young man from Sri Lanka. Now he's trying to expound what the seventh thunder is. And he goes to the book of Matthew 25. And he talks about the parable where Jesus talked about the tambourine. Is that right? And the Bible says, at midnight, there was a cry made. But he said, well, the word is not cry, but he said there was a cry heard. Rather than the voice. But you know, that doesn't make sense. How can you hear something when there is no noise? Now you understand me? Okay. So whether it is a midnight cry or a midnight cry that was heard or sounded forth, don't make any big issue here. But we know that there was a cry. Must be. Okay. The other thing is, it says, the Bible says in the King James, that at midnight, there was a cry made. Now, he is trying to say that, well, you know, Brother Branham was an evening time messenger. Brother Branham was an evening time messenger. So now this is midnight. So it cannot be referring to Brother Branham. It cannot be the message of the evening time messenger. But that makes a good point. It looks very good. Well, you know, he is trying to say that the word midnight here, therefore, says that we are now in the fivefold ministry. Now, what kind of interpretation is that? So, if you are very careful enough, then what you get in the New Testament, you all this Bible translation, words that are translated may not be what you see. The word midnight, it doesn't mean 12 a.m. It doesn't mean 12 midnight as we know 12 midnight. The word midnight there in the word is translated from the Greek word nut, which means middle of the night or just the night. And is used either figuratively or literally. Like for example, in some country, people go to bed very early at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. Huh? Then suddenly, you know, they had a bad nightmare, they wake up in the... He said, I woke up in the middle of the night. Now, what time is it? They probably wake up in the middle of the night because everything is still done. After you go back to bed again. What time is the middle of the night? You think middle of the night, everybody think middle of the night is what time? Well, you know one thing? Let me say this. It does not specify what time it is. Okay? But the Bible tells us it says night. In the middle of the night or night. You can look in the Bible, the word midnight that is used as midnight, 12 o'clock, is a Greek word which is misonution, which means the precise time. Around what we call 12 midnight. You understand that now? So you know, people are not careful. Yeah, they are. I mean, he's a young man. A lot of people are just like that. You know and I know the evening time. When we say evening time, what is evening time? Well, evening time means 6 o'clock when the sun goes down. To what time? To what time? To 9 o'clock? You get in a taxi, at the taxi queue, and get into a taxi, and it's 11 p.m. at night. And the taxi driver says, good evening. Isn't that right? Yes or not? Yes or not? Yes. When you get into a taxi at 5 minutes past 12 midnight, what did he tell you? Good morning. Would it not be? Yes or not? So what time is it? Well, what time are you talking about then? If you don't know what the Bible expression is, people say, oh, you know, this is midnight here. So you see, that's what problem is in interpretation of scriptures. Don't be too smart. Oh, Brother God, you are very intellectual, you know. No, I'm not intellectual. But God, give me the wisdom to know what those words are. If you don't believe what you hear, then you want to challenge in any way you want. You go to, you can have your own opinion. I'm not here to debate with you. So the one here restore all things. Brother Abraham came. See? He restored all things. All mysteries. Already revealed. Hear that, John? Hear that, Paul? Patrick, you heard it? Everything! No more mysteries. There's no more mystery left.